Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Without further ado, give it up for my beautiful wife, amazing creature, sound teaching. We release the woman of God. Let's pray for her as she comes. Father, we thank you for Tina. We thank you, God, that for the word that you've put on her heart. And despite not having slides, despite being in a new venue where we're trying to figure things out, Lord God, this grace upon grace for her to deliver your word with such power and authority. Open up our ears, our eyes, our hearts to receive what not necessarily comes from her, but comes directly from you through her story, through her teaching, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time for my wife.
Thank you very much. Hey, come on.
Oh,
thank you so much. All right, wow, you know, sorry, I needed that. I really need that today because I was really wrecked and really broken by the worship a while ago. How many of you loved the worship just now? I just love worship. Only two, huh? Only two people. All right. I am very excited for what's going to happen in a bit. There's always a reason for things happening. In Christianity, no accidents happen. Do you believe that? You believe that no accidents happen when you're Christians. And I believe everything today at this point has been orchestrated by God. And it's really great to see those of you who are here today and those of you who have brought some friends along. And for those of you who just happen to pop by or happen to travel from another country, I want to just introduce a visitor from the Philippines, EJ. Everybody say hi, EJ.
Hey.
There is a purpose why you're here today. And I'm really excited, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do today. First things first, I believe that we were supposed to be in this room. I believe, you know, there was poor planning on Brisbane's part for a reason. But I also believe that nothing can take away what God has planned for us today. So when we do worship, when we do acknowledge God as our King, God as our Savior, God as our leader, God as our Lord, we make way for the Spirit to move. My husband and I, this is our conversation of preparing for the preaching, just so you know that the Lord knows what He's doing. Man, what's going to happen? What's the name of... So I'm preaching on receive, raise? I have to admit, I didn't know what it was. That's a conversation. So don't feel so bad. And even his own wife had a hard time remembering it. He goes, release, you're preaching on release. Oh, okay, that's right. We're preaching on release. So what is it? What is your heart? What do you want to talk about? Well, I want us to remind people that one of the things that God allows us to do as Christians is to walk in the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. And that was it. That was a conversation. We talked about the same scripture, Acts 2. We said, oh, let's just start with Acts 2. And that was it. We didn't really exactly know, at least in our conversation, what I was going to preach about or what I was going to talk about today. And guess what? I didn't know entirely too. Not that I didn't want to come unprepared, but I believe the Lord revealed to me just now some of the things that you need to hear, some of the things that are specific for you in this room. So I just want to pray right now for an openness. I want to pray right now for really fertile soil for the word to land in our hearts today. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. That God, it is your will, it is your desire that we release the Holy Spirit right now from within, Lord Father. I believe, Lord God, that today there is something great, there is something big for each and every one of these that are here today. And I believe, Lord God, that if we submit to your discipline, if we submit to what you want us to hear, Jesus, you are going to create change, Lord God, in our lives. So Father, I pray for all of us right now that we may be sensitive to you, that we may not restrict what your Holy Spirit wants to do in this room right now, Father. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your strength and your power to do just that, to hear you, to receive you, to be changed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, break us. Holy Spirit, change us. What are the lyrics to that song? Holy Spirit, overtake us. I believe these are the same words that in Acts chapter 2, the apostles were praying as they were fearful, frightened, didn't know what to do in the upper room. If we can familiarize ourselves with that scripture, I'm just going to read a couple of verses of what happened in Pentecost that day. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from a hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. There were about 120 in that room. And if we read on, going on to Acts chapter 2, when the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews, converts and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine." When I read this, initially my thought was, wow, they were tickled that these people were speaking in their own native language. Then I decided to probe further on. I said, if I heard somebody speak Filipino in a party across the room, or speak Spanish, or let's say I was in a foreign country and speak English, I wouldn't really go out of my way to run across the room and just listen to them speaking my language. That doesn't give me great thrill. So, I mean, it does. It's so cute, especially if you don't know how to speak it well enough. But it's not going to amuse me. It's not going to really blow me away. So I asked myself, Lord, why were these people so amazed? I realized what they were listening to, or what they were tickled by, or what they were really amused by, wasn't just because they could speak their language. What they heard that day was a sound from heaven. What they heard that day is something that's not from that world. It's something heavenly. I'll say it again. What they heard that day is not man-made. What they heard was from the heavens. Because on that day, the Lord released His Holy Spirit in tongues of fire to be touched, to touch people, to touch like 120 people. And from that day on, heaven and earth collided. It was big. It was crazy. It was amazing. Those same people that came out, those who were willing to listen, those who were willing to hear, those who were called by God to witness that miracle that day, got converted to Christianity. 3,000. The same people that crucified Christ just the day before, the night before, got converted. It had to be something more than just a native language being spoken by someone who's not supposed to speak that language. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It's the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What I want us here to understand today is that there is something different when we believe that the Holy Spirit can work through us. It's not about upgrading your skills. It's not about going to theology school. Not just that. It's great. We need that. For those of you who are called to full-time ministry, or for those who believe the Lord said, go and go to Bible college, do so. I want to go to Bible college. Please pray for me. But there's something special about realizing that the Spirit of the Lord lives in us. And it just wants to just break out of us. What's causing the Spirit to stay in? What's causing? What's causing la? Tell me who la? Who's the fault is in la? It's our fault. Sorry, my Singaporean's coming out. It's us, okay? And I just want to show a simple illustration. And praise God, there's no slide. So I'm going to... Can you help? Okay, Brent? Can we make use of you while you're still here? Come on, Brent.
Come on, Brent.
The thunder.
Thank you. So is it 2-4? I think anyway, we'll just keep it back to the room. Yeah. I love visuals. I love diagrams. It helps make us understand, at least myself. And I don't know if any of you, or one of you, have ever come across this diagram of a description of us human beings. We have what's in the center, spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, we have to understand that spirit knows spirit, right? And when we read the Bible, sometimes we complain, I don't understand this one. Okay? Some of us read it, or even those who are non-believers read the Bible, and they will not understand it. And you're wondering, why can't they understand it? I mean, it's the same language, it's English, they're smart. Well, we need to understand those who wrote the Bible wrote it in spirit. Okay? So we're talking about languages here. 120 people, tongues of fire, languages that they've never known before. They started speaking, started to amaze people, started to show miraculous signs. Well, it was the spirit that was prompting them to do that. It was spirit fueling them to do that. The same people, Paul, wrote the Bible in the spirit. Now, the reason why people may not understand the Bible is because they don't have the Holy Spirit, who's the author of the Bible. Okay? So I want to start with that, because some of us here today are probably scratching their head and wondering, I know I'm a Christian. I know I've received the Lord. I've tasted and seen that He's good. How come I can't get it right? How come I don't understand? How come I keep on going to the old patterns of my life? I keep on sinning. No matter how hard I try, it just doesn't work out. I'm here to submit to you that when we're talking about release in this series, we're talking about the release of the Spirit. Looking at this diagram, you answered the question a while ago. Why can't we seem to operate in the Spirit? We are our own hindrance. True? We are our own hindrance. And I want to submit to you that it starts with this part of ourselves. Our soul that fosters our mind, will, and what else? Emotions. Our outer man, so to speak. There's a book by Watchman Nee. I really strongly suggest you get it. It's called Release of the Spirit. The Release of the Spirit. Something. And he talks about this, that the inner man, our spirit, can be suppressed by what we call the outer man. I don't want to get into more jargon here. But what happens is, sometimes we don't understand the Spirit because we don't learn by the Spirit. What do you mean by learn by the Spirit? We don't submit to what the Spirit wants us to go through. Becoming a Christian is an event. And if we want to become all that Jesus wants to be, we submit to consecration. Consecration, what it means simply is that we are willing for God to change us. It's an act, it's an emotion. It's a will. Lord, change me, use me, let me be like you. That's consecration. But consecration alone won't let us lead a spirit-empowered life. We need the discipline of the Holy Spirit to be released, to come and help us out here in order for us to see major transformation. When I say we don't understand the Spirit because we don't learn by the Spirit, is we are sometimes not willing to submit our mind, will, and emotions through the process that He wants to take us, the discipline that the Spirit wants to take us through. The event is quick. It could take minutes, a decision made. But that's not going to change you. I've been a Christian for 16 years now. I'm still learning. It still hurts. How many of you can say that you're still learning and it still hurts? Just me again. Say it with me. It hurts.
It hurts.
And it's okay. It's okay. We talk about taking up your cross. We sing about it, right? Take up your cross each day. I'm just composing a song right now because I'm not really old school. All right? Take out your cross each day. You want to see my dance? Something? No, don't. But do we really understand what it means to take up the cross? Those who have ascended the cross, just like Jesus did, and those who partake of the vinegar, of the vinegar that was mixed with, what was it mixed with? Wine. Does not know Jesus Christ. I say it again. Those who ascend the cross like Jesus did, and then they take that wine, that sponge filled with vinegar and wine, does not know what it means to follow Christ. What it means is that some of us here today, including myself, may take temporary relief from the whole process that the Spirit wants us to go through by compromising, by trying to take the shortcut. When the Spirit prompts us inside of us, and I believe each of one of us here know what it means to be critically tense once you become a Christian. Have you experienced that, the critical tension in your life? When you become a Christian, suddenly you go to a party and people are telling you to do stuff and you say, this is not right. Or when you turn on the news and you listen to all these really saddening situations in the West whereby people are now fighting to kill themselves instead of fighting to live. You start to feel something in your gut that says this is wrong. That's the critical tension when you start to receive Christ. Now, when you try to dismiss the process of the Holy Spirit disciplining you, what you do is you harden your outer shell. You harden your outer man. You harden your soul, and the Spirit cannot be released. Submission is key. Submission to the process is key. If you really want to see the Holy Spirit work in your life, you know, one of the things I learned about shopping the hard way. I'm not a shopper. I like bargains. I like buying the cheap stuff. But I learned the cheap stuff does not last. It really does not last. So slowly I learned, okay, I'll save up. I'll work harder so I can buy quality stuff so that they will last. God has set us apart for noble purposes. We're not the cheap stuff in the house. Scripture says that we are set apart. We're jewels. We're fine treasure. We need to understand that there is no compromise if we really desire to release the Holy Spirit within. It's a process. Again, it's a process. When the Holy Spirit takes us through situations, and I know we've all been through situations that are like, God, please let this be over. And once it's over, if we went through the process, how do you feel? Can anyone tell me how you feel like when you're sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you passed the test or passed a trial in your Christian life? Come on, somebody tell us. Tell me, how do you feel?
Fantastic.
Bex. Great.
Excreamy.
Oh, like screaming. Sorry. Like screaming. Why do you feel like screaming, Lily? What does it mean to you that you passed the test? Because you're free. You see, that freedom is the release of the Spirit. Paul continues to talk about this. After the Pentecost came and people got converted, miracles happened. The fight of Paul in most of his letters, especially in Philippians and Galatians, was to tell the people, do not forget about the Holy Spirit. Don't forget what it means to release the Spirit living this life. Do not compromise. Don't go back to your old ways. And particularly, Paul was so angry at some of the Galatians when they started to go back in their old ways of Judaism, their old religious ways. there was this argument about circumcision and non-circumcision. Paul said, are we back to that again? And Paul continues to say in Scripture, he even says in Galatians 3, if I may read that to you right now. Can somebody maybe help me out here? Galatians 3:3. Can somebody read that out loud? Galatians 3:3.
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. Now, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?
I'll say it again. Thank you, honey. That was beautiful. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you not receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Sorry, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He starts off by saying, are you bewitched? That's a strong word for people who try to finish up what he saw, what started in spirit, finishing up in the flesh. I don't want to be that. I don't know about you. How many of you want finish in this flesh? I don't want to be that. Yet some of us, including myself, choose the flesh. How does that happen? Starts by one choice. Then you think, it wasn't that bad. Maybe I'll try it again. It's easier. The compromise seems steadier. Second time, you do it again. Third time, you do it again. Fourth time, you do not hear the Holy Spirit anymore because you don't know how it sounds like. You don't know how He sounds like anymore because suddenly you're calibrating your ears back to your old ways. Brethren, I submit to you, please do not do that. That is not the will of God in your life. To compromise just a little bit snowballs. It snowballs to something bigger. Paul talks to the Galatians one more and saying, you are, I can read it, okay? All right. When Paul talks to the Galatians, he uses the word flesh. Is it life by the Spirit or life by the flesh? He refers to flesh here, not just our outward body, but even our sinful, where the areas where sin starts, okay? Now, he talks a lot about life in the spirit and life in the flesh as opposing one another. Now, what does that mean for us? When we become Christians, the spirit enters, we receive the spirit. Now, does it mean that it totally annihilates the soul and the body? No, that's not what it means. I mean, that's a form of asceticism, okay? What the Buddhists believe that totally, we need to cancel, deny everything. No. What happens is, we receive the Holy Spirit and we have to submit to His disciplines for us to be able to portray Christ in us. Okay, I'll say it again. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit deep inside. You know, in the Bible, sometimes pneuma, spirit, is capitalized and sometimes it's not. Okay? So what it means for us, it also talks about the Spirit living in us. But now it's in communion with the Holy Spirit. Now, if our outer man or our mind, will, and emotions does not submit to the breaking or the brokenness that God always encourages us to do, we will not be able to function as one that is living by grace and by the supernatural. I would like to submit to you two things. Number one, what hinders us from living by the Spirit is that we're not broken. Okay? I'm changing course here right now. If you forgive me if I was going that way, but I believe the Lord wants us to hear this. If we are not broken vessels, we cannot release the Spirit. The alabaster jar, Jesus talks about that in one of his in the story, whereby Mary breaks that alabaster jar, right? and the perfume, the fragrance, it's so precious. Precious. The most precious thing. And he likens us to the alabaster jars, right? We talk about it, we sing about alabaster jars. Some of us, or some people, are so concerned about being alabaster jars, pretty alabaster jars. Okay, so they want to be able to keep their talents, their giftings, but they forget about brokenness. But it's supposed to be broken. We're supposed to be broken. We don't want to concentrate on looking just like the great or the nice alabaster jar. And what it means for us is if we have to go through something really bloody, really painful, so be it. It's worth it. It really is worth it, because what happens in has to come, what is inside has to come out. I know this is entirely, probably for you, a new concept of releasing the spirit within. But I really want us to understand this, to learn this so we can understand the Holy Spirit. We have these questions in life as Christians. Why did this have to happen to me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why is it so hard? Well, learn through the Spirit and you'll understand why. For those of us who've gone through trials and can confidently say that you've got peace, that you're great, that you can scream, you know what? I can say, bring that on me again. It made me closer to Jesus. Some of the most painful things that happened to me in life, I loved it because that was the most intimate times I had with Jesus. Just really laying myself down, God, do whatever you want me to do. Have your way with me. It was the most intimate moments where I knew I was going to another level. That's what the Bible talks, glory to glory. Giving God the glory, not to ourselves, but giving God the glory. Some of us go from glory to gory. You know? It's like we choose what we think is the easiest way out, so that we don't have to go through the process. Then suddenly we forget about Jesus. Bad choice. I say this because, not because, you know, I've got it all together, not at all. Just recently, there was something that I was trying to push for in my life. And I said, God, I think this is it. I think this is the solution. And then God said, no, that's not the solution. You have to go through the process. Everybody say event. Everybody say process. Everybody say event. Everybody say process. Don't forget there is a process. But God's tender mercies and love will break through if we are broken. If we go and imitate His humility. He went through the process. Jesus went through the process for us just to show us. Can you imagine that? He came here on earth and went through the painful process. Why shouldn't we do that? And it's just some measly little things sometimes where we don't want to go through the process, like paying a parking ticket. Trust me, I tried to go through the, you know, different ways to not pay a parking ticket, and God said, pay it! Okay. Some of us are saying, Consecration. Discipline of the Holy Spirit. Two things that come hand in hand. Another reason, apart from not being broken, is because we don't see God in our daily dealings with life. We shut out the hope. We shut out the bigger picture. And so what do? When we just see with our human eyes, we create human solutions. In the end, it fails. We need to understand that for us to go through life, we don't try to be religious about certain things and try to tweak our mindset or do certain things out of our own flesh, because it is still going to be in vain. God says we are a new creation. We trade in our old ways. We trade in our old mind. We trade in our own will. We trade in our own emotions for the newness that Christ has promised us. We don't try to tweak it. We are wondering, how come old habits? We have old habits and I can't seem to get over our old habits. Well, you're not going to have to replace that old habit with another man-made habit, because it's not going to work. It's like a bubble. You know, you're trying to squeeze and it's just going to pop the other end. What's required of us, again, is to listen, to be intimate, to seek the higher way that the Holy Spirit wants us to solve the solution. There are higher ways. Most of it, at the end of the day, is just praying, understanding what God wants to trade, our old memories, our hurts, bitterness, for forgiveness. That song talks about it, right? Sorrows, joy, trading it in. And it's a process. I really encourage us here today to understand what it means to live by the Spirit, be broken. The third thing, of course, is humility. When I first, when Nelly asked me first to preach, the first thing that came to mind was humility, how important it is to be humble, to be truly humble. And there's one passage in the Bible, in Philippians, that I love and I live by. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from this love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now watch this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humility is key. Humility is key. That's something that I really pray for us, because if we cannot be humble in every spiritual sense, we cannot be broken. And if we can't be broken, we cannot release the Spirit within us. Friends, sisters, brothers, all of you, I love you so much. I just want to say. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but all I know, and all I felt a while ago while I was praying and worshiping back there, was the Spirit inside some of us today has a hard time getting released, because the outer shell is so hard. It's been hardened. And I believe today is a time for us to submit to consecration and let the disciplines of the Holy Spirit happen to us. It's scary. I know that sometimes the devil plays with us and say, oh, if you make that decision, you know it's going to be hard, right? You know, if you start to forgive that person, you're going to have this awkward relationship with her once again. Or, you know, if you decide to return the money that you stole, you're probably going to go to the authorities. There's so many things. Like, those are just some examples. By the way, that happened to me. Right? In my past life, I knew that, oh God, I have to return something I've stolen from someone. But you'll be amazed how God just saved me by grace. So I want us to really just even take this time, if I could ask the worship team right now. I just want us to pray and ask this question. What is it that's hindering the Holy Spirit to be released from in me? What is something that I'm struggling in my soul, in my mind, my will, my emotions, that I haven't submitted to Christ yet? The vision that God gave me of Every Nation Church of Brisbane is not a church that is just consistent, regular, happy, joyful, God-fearing people. The vision that He's given, perhaps even some of you know this, myself and Nelly, is a family that walks in the supernatural. And I'm not just talking about gold dust falling from the sky, you know, or gold teeth growing. I'm believing for that, by the way. Gosh, I'm really telling everything. I should stop talking now. But I'm believing of us walking in the Spirit while we can overcome the things that are just seem impossible for us in our personal walk with Christ. I'm believing that we're going to be vessels that are going to be conduits of love, that miracles will happen. We consider others more important than we do. That's going to happen, the promise of the Lord. He did that. He considered others more valuable than himself, the promise of the Lord. He was exalted. That same promise is extended to us, his heirs, his children, his inheritance. We're no longer by the law. We're no longer following the law. Because the law, yes, it leads us to Christ, but it can't save. That's what Paul was saying to Galatians and Philippians. What are you trying to do? You're trying to be religious. You're trying to go to church every Sunday. You're just trying to read your Bible. You're trying to pray. But that's exactly how Paul felt, I believe. I mean, what are you guys doing? You're going back to your old ways, your old religious ways. That will account for nothing. You can have revival, but it's nothing if you're not doing this through the Spirit. That's what God promises us for this family. We're trying so hard to follow the law. We're trying so hard to be good. We're trying so hard to be a blessing, to look good, to say, oh, I tick, 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 I did this. I said, okay, morning, oh yeah. But yet the most important thing that the Spirit tells us to do, we shy away from because we think God does not have the grace to complete the good work He began in you. Paul said, are you bewitched? I have to really say this as a warning. Are you bewitched, Galatians, that what you're trying to do is you're trying to finish in flesh what God started in the Spirit? Don't do that. That's a kappa. That's a sellout. You're living for your next generation. For those of you who have kids, I'm tearing up right now. You're living for the next generation. For those of you who have no kids, you're still living for the next generation. You're leaving a legacy. It's not just you. It's not about you. I'm so excited. Sorry, I'm not mad. I'm just excited that once we get this, once we release the Holy Spirit, there's no need for, hello, Pastor Tina, can you talk to the disciple of this person? Because I think this person is making a wrong choice. Hello, Pastor Tina, can you please talk to the disciple of this guy? Because I think this guy is trying to make the moves of this girl. He's flirting. Oh! It's okay. You can do that. You can still do that. You can call me up. What I want this church to know is to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because at the end of the day, you're going to make your own choices anyway. Even we have these rules like, oh, if you're in courtship, only spend 1 hour together. Make sure there are 3 people around you. I went through that, by the way, in the old legalistic days. 3 people. Cannot be 2. Must be 3. 1 hour. If it's 45 minutes, can be 2. But if 1 hour, 3 people. Okay, that was the formula. It's a good thing we didn't have that during our days. But yes, at the end of the day, you do what you want to do. But the key is this. The key is submit to the Spirit. You'll go from glory to glory. Things that you never thought you would feel. Things that you never thought you could do, you'll do. Because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that is available for us. I'm excited to see this family. Imagine if we do this, how we are going to pray, how we're going to read the Bible, how we're going to preach the gospel, how we're going to reach nations, how we're going to supply to those in lack, how we'll take care of the widows, how we'll take care of the poor. It's going to be different. It's a mindset that we have never had before. Like tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit will make us new, and He will release a sound that nobody else can deny. That's what's going to happen. Just submit. What's great about this is God anointed us for community. You've heard my preaching about that. And in community, we can do this together. the Lord will supply the power for that. If you are wanting to go to the next level of glory, I want us to submit it today, to be honest before the Lord and say, God, first confess that you've been running away from this particular inkling, conviction of the Holy Spirit, a particular crack that the Holy Spirit wants to get through. And we'll minister, we'll pray with you, we'll pray together as a family, and you're going to see the light break through. I promise you, that's the promise the Lord gave me today. I promise you that He will see you through. He will see you through. We're going to sing some songs, but if you want prayer, if you believe the Lord has spoken to you today, don't let this pass. Can I just come forward, and maybe all of us can stand up, and all of us stand up.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.